Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:05 on Thursday, July 25th, 2019. I am Commissioner Brian Crotchis. Also present with me is Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman, so we do have a quorum. In terms of my opening comments, tomorrow is 8-1-1 day at the State Fair. Of course, the State Fair is going on, and that is a day I look forward to every year. So this will be my third trip to Minot, and it's just a great opportunity to interact with the public. They come through the tent. There are a lot of different vendors, operators, excavators, representatives from 811 and the One Call Board are there, and they just do an incredibly nice job. So looking forward to spending some time with staff that will be up there as well. And actually, they do the heavy lifting, and I just basically I show up and visit with people. So they do such a nice job setting the table for that and interacting as well. So looking forward to that. And I think that would conclude my opening remarks. Commissioner Fedorchek.
Well, we know that you love getting up there and interacting with the public, but I'm pretty convinced that it's really just a big excuse to eat funnel cakes.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't blame you. I don't have any opening remarks.
Commissioner Christman?
I'll only just pass on a recommendation. I would have probably had the same recommendation any other year, but I was up at the Great North Dakota State Fair on Saturday. It was wonderful. And if it's still going this many days into the fair, which I don't know, I would just urge you to take in that, to me, what's one of the hallmarks of North Dakota-based entertainment, Darrell's Racing Pigs. It never fails to excel. I love watching them.
I have watched them as well. It's the Kentucky Derby has nothing on the state fair.
I think he said he's been doing this for almost 30 years, and it's just fascinating how well those pigs have aged. They're able to sprint like that.
Well, they're in shape. That helps. All right. Thank you. All right. We have three items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, moving into the regular agenda, I have three items. The first, I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated Electric Service Agreement to Sorrel Refinery. Approval, case number PU-18-434.
Second.
December 2018, on December 28th, 2018, MDU filed an amendment, amendment number 2, electric service agreement between Tesoro Refining and Marketing Company and MDU. On May 7th, 2019, MDU filed a settlement agreement negotiated with the Public Service Commission advocacy staff intended to resolve all outstanding issues between the settling parties in this case. On June 12th, 2019, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing that provided until July 22nd, 2019. No response was received. On July 10th, 2019, the commission discussed the matter with MDU, commission staff, and, of course, and Tesoro during an informal hearing. And what the order, what the amendment provides for is a continued sale of all firm electric power required by Tesoro at a rate other than, excuse me, the applicable General Electric Service Rate, number 30. Under the settlement agreement, MDU will charge amendment number 2 rates to Tesoro until MDU's next general rate case, when a new study of cost to serve Tesoro will be completed. And just a little more color on this, there were four large customers that were not on the contract or not on the General Electric Service Rate 30, and Tesoro was one. I'm going to talk about one other right after this. So there were a total of four during the last rate case. Staff had worked with MDU and had asked for more information on that. And so this will take care of two. The other two are also being reviewed by staff at this time. And this will actually move Tesoro's rates up to be more reflective in terms of cost of service. And it's substantial. They will move up by $965,000 per year, approximately a 22% increase. But based on reviewing the information, staff feels that this is an appropriate rate. And again, a specific cost of service study will have to be provided for for Tesoro, and then also the next customer that I'll be talking about in the next order. So this is good. It moves it up to be in line with what the service actually costs. And I commend staff to have worked on this both during the rate case and then following up and ensuring that the rates that we're charging are fair, or that the utility is charging to any particular customer or customer class are fair. And they did a really good job with this one. So I support the order and the change.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, Electric Service Agreement, Sabin Metals West Corporation Approval, case number PU-18-435.
Second.
Sorry. Randy.
I think we're covering on the seconds, so I'm going to keep going. Very similar. This was filed on December 28th, 2018, by MDU. Again, it was an amendment to the electric service agreement that they had between Sabin Metals West Corporation and themselves. February of 2019, in February, there was a revision to the amendment that MDU provided. On May 7th, a settlement agreement that was negotiated with Public Service Commission advocacy staff and MDU was filed. Again, that was May 7th. And then on June 12th, we also issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. Again, any potential respondent had until July 22nd, 2019 to weigh in. No response was received. On July 10th, the commission discussed the matter with MDU, commission staff, and Sabin Metals during an informal hearing. And everything I had mentioned before would be the same, other than this amount is a little different. Sabin Metals will see an increase of $323,000 per year, a 23% increase. So just a little more in terms of percentage, but about a third of what the other settlement provided, rate settlement provides. And it's, you know, again, this does reflect the cost of service to the customer. Staff is very comfortable in that and reviewing the numbers that they have on hand. And similarly, a specific cost of service study will be provided for this customer as well. So we'll have the opportunity to look at that during the next rate case, as mentioned. And the one thing you do want to balance out, this is a significant increase in business expense for both Tesoro and Sabin Metals. So you do want to watch to ensure that the rates are fair and that there's the right balance in place, because this all goes into ensuring that North Dakota is an attractive place to do business in from a rate standpoint. And we do have some of the most competitive utility rates in the country, but it's important that balance exists, so we remain that way. And just on a – I don't remember the there are two other large customers. I don't remember the one offhand, but the one I do remember is actually the Capitol Grounds, state of North Dakota. So we're a large customer, and I'm really happy that staff is treating state government no differently than how we're looking at these other large general service customers. And we also should be at the front of the line and making sure that we're paying what we should pay in terms of fairness on rates and leading by example, if you will. So an important point, I think, worth noting.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just thought that, again, I agree. Staff did a good job on both of these, and I think it's an important area that we need to be looking, and I appreciate that staff has dug into this a bit. I especially like that the riders have been rolled into these rates now, and so that's part of what's being covered by these sort of special rate tariffs. But more importantly, or just as important, so they're paying their fair share, but also I was interested in the informal hearings to hear both of the companies talk about how important the costs, how big of a part of their overall cost their power is, and how much they look at that as a factor in where they locate and how they do business. And so Tesoro was one of their top input costs. And same with Sabin Metals, and especially Sabin Metals, who operates in other states. It wasn't a slam dunk that North Dakota had the lowest power rates, and I thought that that was good information to have and keep in mind, and to know that this is something we need to keep a close eye on. It's a big factor for businesses. It is part of our competitiveness in North Dakota, and we want to make sure that we don't over time lose that advantage.
I would just like to add on to that, because that covered some of the things that I was going to say as far as the competitive nature with electric rates in a business like this. I've thought that Sabin Metals is kind of a unique jewel in North Dakota's business economy, and I think because it's up in Williston, that most people think it's one of the many new excellent businesses that have moved in there in the last decade. But although back in the 90s and however long before that, it was a different company, and Sabin came in and took it over. This process and this business has been in place for a long time, and is a big power user, and the fact that they're using as much power as they do is keeping everyone's cost of transmission and such down in that region. So it's an important player too. But the point that was just made about their costs and the competitive nature, I think we've seen that in these last few years in rate cases, that maybe in the past, when overall utility rates in North Dakota were just so very low, there was a tendency to, when rate increases were necessary, to just slap them on the commercial customers, mm-hmm. and keep the voters happy. And I think in recent years, you've seen rate cases come in that have actually tried to distribute the costs to where they correctly ought to be, more so, because if we're not cognizant of that, we're going to lose businesses like this, because especially in the age of better technology and better transportation and better communications, a business like this doesn't have to be in Williston, it doesn't have to be in North Dakota, it doesn't have to be in the Midwest. And so I think that this is an appropriate increase on them, but we also need to always be watching in our rate cases and in all of our tariffs to make sure that we are cognizant of the cost of electricity in a lot of these businesses as well as residents.
Yep. No, I would agree. Definitely agree with those points. One thing Sabin Metals did say, one of their decisions to locate in North Dakota was due to the attractive utility rates. And at the same time, they also indicated that going forward, so in terms of how they compared rates in the past, very competitive, certainly more competitive than I believe it was New York was the state that they cited, significantly more competitive than New York. Now, this change, so now we're not talking about how they viewed it in the past. Now we're talking about looking forward. This change will bring their rates more on par with what they would experience in other states that they operate, New York in particular. And it could potentially impact whether or not they do or they don't bring in a an additional, add another boiler, I believe it is, because of the rates. Is that right, Adam? I'm looking, it was a boiler? Right. So it is. You know, you have to look at all of the business expenses, and then again, the balance is that you don't have a significant amount of cross-subsidization happening between rate classes, because that just means someone else is picking up the bill. So it's about fair cost of service, and I think this brings that in line.
One more comment about Sabin Metals. Because it's located in Williston, I think folks are, I know I was assuming that it was oil field related, but it isn't an oil field related company. They have no, the Bakken isn't why they're located there. They have 110 employees, and they're MDU's sixth largest customer. So it's a significant load, an important customer, and a huge employer in Williston that diversifies their economy and is there to help that community not be so tied to the oil market.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my final order. I move the commission adopt the order and consent agreement in Public Service Commission's Crawford Construction Incorporated Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-19-22.
Second.
On January 15th, 2019, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Kinder Morgan alleging a violation by Crawford's Construction Incorporated of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23, which is the one-call excavation notice system. On January 18th, 2019, the commission sent a letter to Crawford enclosing the complaint, and Crawford responded on February 18th of 2019 to that letter. On July 2nd, 2019, a consent agreement between the PSC, advocacy staff, and Crawford was filed for the resolution of the complaint. The complaint alleges, KM alleges a violation, or alleged a violation by Crawford for failure to renew excavation or location requests prior to the excavation or the expiration of the 21-day period. Tickets are good for 21 days, a full 21 days, but then they expire if the work isn't completed, whether it hasn't been started or they need additional time. They do need, operators do need to go and get a relocate ticket for that area. The only exception to that is if they've worked out other arrangements with operators in the area, which Century Code does allow them to do, to work directly with the different operators that have been identified in that area, and then to continue working on whatever project they're working on. In this particular instance, there was not damage to any underground facilities that we're aware of. However, there was a 12-inch natural gas pipeline in the area. That's worth mentioning. So from a risk standpoint, we're talking very high risk. Even if the lines were still marked, it's not safe to assume that flags haven't been moved or that ground markings haven't been washed out by rains or just activity on the surface. So incredibly important to always get a relocate ticket if work extends beyond the 21-day period. And as a result, settlement discussions between Crawford and advocacy staff did result in a civil penalty of $500 that would be payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 days of service of an order adopting consent agreement, which is the order that we're talking about. And then just one other One other point worth noting on this is that Crawford would be a first-time offender, and this has not, they haven't been on our radar or had any complaints filed against them that we have on record in the past. So because of that, I support the civil penalty of $500.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes my agenda items. I don't believe, Commissioner Fedorchuk, you have any?
I do not.
So, Commissioner Christman.
Okay, believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate the captioned cases under North Dakota Administrative Code Sections 6902.04.04 and issue a Notice of Opportunity for Consolidated Hearing in Intercommunity Telephone and Absaraka Cooperative Public Convenience and Necessity, Case Number PU-19-224, and Intercommunity Telephone and Absaraka Cooperative Designated Eligible Carrier Application, Case Number PU-19-230.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yes. On July 1st of this year, Intercommunity Telephone Company and Absaraka Cooperative Telephone Company filed a joint application requesting authorization for intercommunity. And by the way, intercommunity kind of serves around that Valley City area. Absaraka is over further south of Fargo. Requesting authorization for intercommunity to provide local exchange services in the area currently known as the Absaraka Telephone Exchange. The issues in that case to be considered are four. One is the fitness and ability of intercommunity to provide local services. Two is the adequacy of intercommunity's proposed telecommunication services. Three is the technical, financial, and managerial ability of intercommunity. And lastly, whether upon granting a certificate of public convenience and necessity to intercommunity, should Absaraka Cooperative's certificate of public convenience and necessity be relinquished. In the other case, also filed on July 1st, Intercommunity and Absaraka filed another joint application requesting that Intercommunity be designated as an essential telecommunications carrier in the Absaraka local exchange area. The issues in that case are, again, four. One is the qualifications of Intercommunity for designation as an ETC eligible to receive federal universal service funding, which is very important. Number two is the universal service support area to be designated. Number three is whether it is in the public interest to designate Intercommunity as an ETC in the Absaraka exchange. And number four is whether upon designation of Intercommunity as an ETC in the Absaraka exchange, should Absaraka's designation as an ETC be relinquished. Those interested in either or both of these cases are invited to comment on the application in writing. A person's desire in a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by September 4th of 2019. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine this matter without a hearing.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Just a couple of announcements that I can think of. The next regular commission meeting will be on Tuesday, August 6th, 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. here in the commission meeting room at the state capitol. Then on Monday, August 19th, we do have a formal hearing that will start at 1 o'clock. That will be in Velva, North Dakota at Vrindry Electric Cooperative, and that would be for Russo Wind Partners, the 230 kV transmission line that will be in McHenry, or would be in McHenry and Ward counties if it is approved. So those, I believe, are the only two announcements. Kind of quiet. Must be the dog days of summer without the oppressive heat. So did I miss anything? And nobody really wants to hear about my airline story again. So we'll just.
It is pretty entertaining.
Ooh, well, I hope you're on the right airline and everything works out for you. So, okay, we'll now take a brief recess, take questions from the press, followed by the administrative portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.